You're listening to the Customer Success Career Coach. Today's episode is all about customer success interview presentations. So if you've never done one and just want to know what to expect, or you're wanting to learn how to nail those presentations, stay tuned. Hi, I'm Carly Agar, and after 10 years of building my own career in the field, I'm now an award-winning career coach for current and aspiring customer success pros. And this is the first customer success podcast that gives you easy-to-apply strategies and tips to help you score your dream job, secure your next big promotion, or become the top performer on your team. Think of this podcast as your weekly dose of career growth hacks to not only explore what's possible for you in your career, but help you decide where you want to go. And, of course, give you all the steps to get there. Welcome to the Customer Success Career Coach Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Customer Success Career Coach. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If it's not your first time tuning in, thank you. Thank you for coming back. So about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I sent out an email, and somewhere in that email, I said something along the lines of, "Hey, if you've got a request for an upcoming episode, just reply back. I'm the one who gets the emails and let me know." And I ended up having a really, really good conversation with a listener, you know who you are, about customer success interview presentations. And I was psyched because truthfully, I had this on my list to talk about soon anyway. So I just bumped it up in order of priority, and we're going to dive into presentations today. I'm excited to talk about interview presentations in the customer success world for a couple of reasons. One, maybe I'm a weirdo, and maybe you're already kind of getting this sense, but I love interview presentations. Two, I used to be that person who made the presentations and also made the grading criteria for them, so I have a lot that I can say and share on this topic. And three, interview presentations are often, especially nowadays, a make or break part of interview process. So they're just really, really important in the context of career development and job seeking. I think I just described like the perfect trinity of something I enjoy, something I'm good at, and something that's important. So here's how this is going to work. First, I'll share some context on what these presentations are. Just in case you've not encountered one yet before, I'll give you a little heads up into the most common interview presentations that I see. And then I'm going to talk about the grading criteria behind presentations, meaning what hiring teams are assessing you on, what you could lose points for without even realizing, what you could gain points for, what will make you stand out. We're going to get into all of it. I'm also going to call out some of the biggest gotchas that I see, things that candidates mess up all the time so that you can avoid those things. Before we get into things, I am going to call out that this episode in particular, I'm going to be giving you a lot. So I don't want you to try to take everything that I tell you today and apply it to the next interview presentation that you have, because I think that would just be too much. But if you can take notes while you're listening and maybe just walk away with two or three things that you're going to make sure you do in your next interview presentation, or two or three things that you're going to try a little bit differently in your next interview presentation, that's really the best way to approach all this information I'm going to be giving you. And this is probably an episode that you're going to want to then come back to. So this will probably be one that you listen to multiple times in order to really get all that value and apply everything that I'm giving you. So let's start by just talking through what these presentations are and the most common ones that I see companies actually using. Truthfully, there are endless versions of interview presentations. Every company puts their own spin on it, so there's no way that I could give you every possibility. But the most common ones that I see are, number one, mock customer business reviews. So essentially, you are pretending that you're a CSM for the company that you're interviewing with. So let's pretend that you're interviewing with software company. Really creative, I know. You're interviewing for a job at software company. What this mock business review would be is you're pretending to be a CSM at software company, and you are hosting a business review with your fake customer. The second most common type of presentation that I see is what I call the quote-unquote teach me something, where a company basically just says, you're going to present something to us, you're going to teach us something, and you can teach us really whatever you want. The third most common one that I see is what I like to call the quote-unquote customer success overview, which I know is very broad, but generally in these types of presentations, what you're going to be asked to do is essentially present on your approach to engaging customers. Maybe it's your approach to prioritizing a book of business, addressing different health indicators within your book of business, how you're going to tackle the KPIs that you've been given, et cetera, et cetera. So it's usually a bigger picture into how you're going to approach the role. And in case I didn't already say this, hands down, the most common one that I see is the mock business review. Quick little side tangent here. I am aware that there are conversations about the ethicality of these types of interviews. I'm not even going to lie to you. I just had to Google how to pronounce ethicality because it sounded so weird coming out of my mouth. Anyway, I'm aware that there are conversations about the ethicality of these types of interviews where a company is asking you to do a presentation. Some people feel that it's ridiculous to be expected to invest that much time into an interview. Some people feel like it's wildly unfair and like you're set up to fail simply because at the end of the day, you don't yet work for their company, so you're not going to know everything 100%. I personally believe there is a fine line between what is ethical and what is not regarding interview presentations. So I'll share my sentiment with the caveat that you are entitled to your own thoughts on it. I personally look at the interview presentation as being one of the most fair and in some regards, one of the easiest parts of any interview process. Because it is the only part of the interview process where you're told exactly what the interviewers expect of you. I will say the other thing I do like about interview presentations and activities is it gives you, as the candidate, a good opportunity to really feel what it would be like to work for their company. So if you're preparing this presentation, you're digging into the company's product, you're digging into its customers, the challenges they have, the conversations that you have with their customers, and you hate every second of it, and you're thinking, this is the most boring thing I've ever done in my entire life, then that probably means you should pass on the interview and look elsewhere. Because if you're bored prepping for an hour-long presentation, you're not going to want to work there 9 to 5 for however many foreseeable months and years. Now, that said, I have seen companies take advantage of candidates by basically having them do their work for them. So if you feel like you're being asked to do actual work, know that you obviously have the right to decline, and it can't hurt to be honest about why you're declining or why you're hesitant about taking on a project as part of an interview. Always like to assume best intent. Maybe that company had the best intentions and just screwed up. So with that aside, let's get into what you really want to hear, which is what's happening behind the scenes. What goes into creating these prompts for interview presentations? What are companies testing you for? What is the grading criteria? Generally speaking, interview presentations give the decision makers, the interviewers, the potential hiring team, an opportunity to essentially see if you can walk the walk. If there is validity in the things that you say you're good at, or the things that your resume alludes to you being good at. Truthfully, I had a hard time gathering my thoughts for this episode because there's so much that I want to say about presentations and so much I could say, but I forced myself to sit down and really organize all of the criteria that hiring teams look at. And I got all of my thoughts into a very nice, clean list. So I ended up with a list of 9 things I would say are not only what companies are testing you for, but are also the biggest gotchas I see candidates missing. So I'm going to go through all 9. And as I'm going through all 9, I'm also going to give you examples of how you can meet that specific criteria or how you can make yourself stand out with regards to that criteria. Let's start off really simple. 1 is they are looking for your ability to follow directions. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I'll say you should use the prompt that you're given. So when they send over a PDF or a Google Sheet or whatever it is with the directions for the presentation, you should use that as a literal scorecard, a grading rubric. Dissect it and make sure you hit on every little thing they asked for, from the number of slides to the amount of time to the questions that the client has to whatever it is, anything that's in that prompt that they're saying, hey, we would really love to see, or you should do this, or please don't do this. Follow the directions. The one thing I will say here is if there is information in that prompt that feels totally out of left field and irrelevant, it's probably not irrelevant and is there for a reason. It's probably giving you some sort of clue or hint 9 times out of 10. So don't immediately write something off from the prompt and just say, oh, that's not important. I don't know why they threw that in here. Try going back to it a couple of times and see if there is potentially some sort of hint or clue that they're giving you. All right. The second thing that they are testing you for or assessing you on is your resourcefulness. Can you be self-sufficient in your role? Are you someone who can kind of like take it and run with it? Can you creatively problem solve? So oftentimes, the stuff that you're going to be asked to do or compile is findable on the internet. If you can't find what you need on, let's say, the company's website, go one step deeper. Be a little bit more resourceful. So a lot of companies will have a separate area of their website or even a separate subdomain where they host their technical documentation. It might be, I'm just going to keep using software company as my example. Instead of softwarecompany.com, it might be docs.softwarecompany.com. So dig around on their website, see if there is some subdomain with technical documentation. Look through their case studies or customer stories. Lots of more mature companies will even have a whole separate website or, again, subdomain that is hosting an end user academy end user enablement documentation and training videos and things of that nature. So try and see if you can find that. Lots of companies these days have YouTube channels. So be resourceful. If you can't find it on their regular old website, the information is probably somewhere accessible. The other thing that I want to say about this is if you have exhausted every channel possible and you're still confused about something, just ask. For instance, I was just helping a client last week get ready for an interview presentation, and we kept seeing this word all over the prompt. We couldn't find that word anywhere on their website, in their documentation, in their YouTube videos. That word did not exist. And it was a very niche word, not something that you hear often. And so we had exhausted every channel, but it felt really important and we didn't want to make assumptions about it. So I just had my client send an email to the recruiter and say, hey, I've tried looking here, 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 and here for this answer. This is my assumption of what this word means. Can you let me know if I'm on the right track? And the recruiter was like, oh my gosh, of course. Sorry you spent so much time on that. This is what it means. So it's okay to ask questions as long as you're not being lazy about it. I hope you're enjoying this episode. I wanted to interrupt really quickly because the reviews are piling in and people are loving my free interview training. Whether you're currently interviewing for customer success jobs or plan to be in the near future, you're not going to want to miss this free video training where I teach you the best, most effective way to prep for and nail your customer success job interviews. You will leave this training feeling more confident and head into your next interview feeling overprepared. Head to carlyagar.com/freebies to grab the free training. You can also find the link to the free training in today's show notes. Now let's get back to the episode. Moving on. So the third thing that a hiring team is going to look for in your presentation is all about your communication skills. So you want to pay attention to things like the flow of your presentation. Don't give your customer recommendations on how to get ROI from your product before you do discovery into your customer's business goals. That doesn't make sense in the context of a real life conversation. That doesn't flow together properly, so make sure that in your presentation, the flow makes sense. Do some storytelling throughout your presentation. If you want to recommend a new feature, instead of just saying, we just released this new feature and it's incredible and here's how it works, let me demonstrate it for you. No, tell the customer how you work with a similar client who's in the same industry and how they got this awesome result out of this thing, and then bring it to the feature. So introduce some storytelling. Don't just get in there and dump a ton of information on people in an order that doesn't make sense and in a way that is not going to be engaging or interesting. Number four is they are for sure going to be looking at your presentation skills. Sometimes we call this executive presence in customer success, and that just means if I'm a hiring manager, can I trust you in front of our customers? And especially, can I trust you in front of C-level executives from our customers? Are you going to represent us well? So some things that they're going to be looking for here is, what is your overall demeanor like? Do you sound confident? How do you respond under pressure? Do you just like freak out and totally lose your mind? Or do you stay cool, calm, and collected? I know this can be especially challenging because you're going to feel more underprepared for an interview presentation than you would an actual customer conversation, because it's not a real scenario and it's not real people. So chances are you know next to nothing about the product. So you're going to feel probably a little bit more nervous for an interview presentation than you would an actual customer conversation. That said, I'm giving you permission to worry less about having all the answers during your presentation. And I would encourage you to worry more about showing off how you are with customers. So what I mean by that is if the hiring team that you're presenting to asks you a question, and let's pretend it's a really technical, nuanced question about the product, well, you're probably not going to know the answer. I don't want you to worry about the fact that you did not know the answer. Instead, I want you to worry about how you present the fact that you don't know the answer. So instead of freaking out, just say, "Great question. You know, I actually don't have an answer for you, but I'm going to go ahead and tap our implementation manager as soon as we hang up and I'll shoot you an email." It's that easy. Again, worry less about having all the answers. Worry more about showing off how you actually interact with your customers. Number five are your meeting facilitation skills. A lot of you can do some work on these skills. There's so many gotchas in this one. Hands down, the silliest thing that I see candidates lose points for is time management. Don't run over time. If they tell you you get 15 minutes to present, you better finish that presentation in 15 minutes. Skip slides if you have to and say, "You know what? To be cognizant of time, I don't want to run over. I'm actually just going to skip to whatever." When you transition from one topic to another, make sure it's easy to follow. Make sure you have an agenda. It takes 30 seconds to make an agenda slide, probably even less than that. Just do it so you don't lose points for not doing it. Other thing in meeting facilitation is always have next steps at the end of your presentation. Even if you don't get to present them, you can just say, "I do have next steps laid out here already. Since we didn't have time to cover them, I'll leave behind and I'll also send you an email with next steps," but always have them. Number six, what are hiring teams looking for? Number six is your detail-orientedness. It makes me sad this even has to be on my list, and I kept crossing it off and then putting it back and crossing it off and putting it back. But some of the stuff I see at candidates submit is, whew, it's honestly, it's concerning. So absolutely in no way, shape, or form should you have spelling mistakes. You should not have ugly slides with way too many words on them. If you do have a slide that is really busy, you should be using animations to slowly build up the content of the slide. You don't just want to throw a slide up on the screen that is covered in words because your audience is going to get distracted and they're not going to listen to you. One of the simplest ways for you to stand out here, because most candidates are not doing this, is ask the recruiter or whomever you're talking to schedule the interview presentation, ask that person for a blank slide deck template that is branded with their company's branding. If you can't get your hands on that, at least try to use the company's colors in your slide deck. I know it sounds crazy and I know it sounds silly, but these little tiny details actually matter and can make a huge difference. All right, number seven, we're getting close to the end of the list. So seven is a juicier one, and seven is, they're going to be looking at your approach to customer success, which I know is very broad. So let me explain. For instance, if you are being asked to talk about driving adoption within your book of business, I would say is most candidates are just going to say, Oh, I know how I'm going to drive adoption. I'm going to host training sessions. Yay! Training sessions equal adoption. I'm so smart and so strategic, and I bet no one else is going to come up with this idea. Yikes. That is not good. If you are asked in any way, shape, or form to talk about how you're going to drive adoption, your answer better not only be host training sessions. And if you feel triggered by me right now, then good, because now you can go improve this. There's so many other things you could say about driving adoption. You could talk about leveraging champions. You could talk about getting top-down support from executives within your accounts. You could talk about creating a Slack channel community for end users within that account, doing some real change management. You could talk about having other customers come and speak on a panel about how they use the product. That could drive adoption. But don't just say training sessions. So I guess what I'm saying here with number 7, your approach to customer success, don't be lazy about it. Don't just say the first thing that comes to mind. Try to be a little creative. Even if you've not had a chance to do all of those things I just rattled off, what a perfect opportunity when you're interviewing for a job to talk about all these cool things that you could do. Number 8. Hiring teams during your presentations are going to look for candidates who are consultative. What do I mean by that? Well, for one, have you asked the customer any questions? Have you attempted to do some discovery into maybe their business goals, their challenges, their KPIs? Anything? Because if you haven't asked any questions, I can pretty much guarantee you are losing points. I can't tell you how many people I have seen lose at the last stage of an interview process simply because they did no discovery during their presentation. I'm going to give you one of my favorite tricks here for interview presentations when it comes to doing discovery. I know that in a lot of these interview presentation prompts where they're giving you, this is what we expect, here's all the fake information, blah, blah, blah. I know that lots of times in those prompts, you're given the customer's goals already or the customer's challenges already. And so what I hear from people all the time is, well, isn't that kind of stupid for me to ask them what their goals are, ask them what their challenges are if I was already given that information? The answer is no, it's not stupid. But what I'm going to tell you is if that feels really weird to you to ask what the goal or what the challenge is when they've already given it to you on paper, is during the presentation, you can say something like, hey, I know from our last conversation, you were talking all about how this year's big goal is to improve revenue. But I'm curious, because we didn't have a chance to really dig into it, how much are you hoping to improve revenue by? How will you know if you were successful? So I've taken the goal that I already knew because they gave it to me on paper, and I just did a little discovery into the goal. I just asked, hey, by how much do you want to improve this thing? And how are you thinking about measuring it? Another part of being consultative is using data to back up any recommendations that you make. This is another one of my very favorite tips and tricks. And if you have ever prepped for an interview presentation with me, you know that I use this in pretty much every single one. So if you are, again, like doing the mock business review and you're supposed to recommend a new feature to the customer, you're supposed to say, hey, customer, you're not using this feature. I'm going to convince you that you should be using it. Instead of saying, hey, customer, this feature, it's really awesome. It's already included in your contract. And I see that you're not using it, but you really should use it because it's going to help you achieve all your wildest dreams. Please don't do that. Instead of doing that, spend 5 minutes looking for a relevant case study on the company's website and use that to convince them that they need to start using the feature. That's using data to back up recommendations. So what this might look like, I'm going to pretend that my customer that I'm speaking to is Amazon. Hey, Amazon team, I haven't had a chance to share this story with you yet, but I thought you would want to know. Walmart used our cool new feature to improve their revenue 5x in 3 months. Are you open to hearing how we can do something similar for you? And then they're going to be like, oh my gosh, that's incredible. You're such an expert in your space. You are a trusted advisor. You are consultative. You understand our space and our competitors and what we're trying to do. Yes, I want to hear more about this feature. That's being consultative. Just saying, hey, I noticed you're not using this thing and it's free and you should use it is not consultative. Last one, but certainly not least, this is probably my juiciest one, is emotional intelligence. So basically, number 9 is, can you read the room? Can you empathize with the audience? Can you connect with them? So a couple of pointers that I will give you here. If you do anything from this list, make it be what I'm about to share with you. So before you present, look at who is going to be attending the presentation from the company. Sometimes they'll give you the roles that those people are going to play. So they'll say, oh, Jim, our VP of sales, is going to pretend that he is a marketing analyst. And Sarah, our chief customer officer, is going to pretend that she is brand new to the marketing team. You know, sometimes they give you those roles, sometimes they don't. But either way, look at who's going to be attending and come up with one question or one statement that you can direct at each person throughout the presentation. So if there is a fake VP of sales on the call, or maybe a real VP of sales, I might say at some point in my presentation, Jim, you know what? I think this will particularly pique your interest because I'm about to talk about how we help the Amazon sales team improve their close rates by 40%. So I'm just picking something that's really relevant to him in my presentation and calling him out by name and saying, I think this is really going to pique your interest because of your title. If there's a marketer on the call, I might say, as the only one from the marketing team here, Sarah, I'm curious to hear how your team thinks about this. So I'm kind of asking a question. I'm prompting Sarah to talk because she is on the marketing team. If there's a scenario where they say, oh, you're going to have one new person to the team on the call, you can, at the very beginning of your presentation, say something like, hey, Charles, since you're new to the team, let me just give you a really quick 101 on what our company does. Do you have any questions before we keep going? I want to make sure you can follow along with today's discussion. So you're just addressing the fact that they are new to the team. Again, all you're doing is taking every attendee, using the role that they're playing or their role in real life, and using it to direct one thing at them in the presentation, whether it's a question, prompting them to speak, or just calling them out on something. That is going to make you stand out like crazy because now you've gotten everyone on that call to engage with you. And that's all they need to remember is, oh my gosh, yes, this candidate got me to engage during their presentation. That's so awesome. They're going to be able to engage our customers. They're going to be able to facilitate a discussion where people are really participating and happy and excited to be there. Now, this might be a little bold, but I'll just throw this one out there too while I'm talking about this. And I used to do this a lot when I was interviewing. If someone is on the presentation as an attendee and they are on their phone or clearly not paying attention, I would call them out by name at some point. Now, you don't want to be rude about it because maybe they're, who knows, maybe they're putting out a fire. So you don't want to say, hey, Steve, quit being on your phone and listen to my presentation. I put a lot of work into this, because that would be awkward. But what you could do is you could, let's say you're facilitating a discussion and someone else from their team talks. You can be like, oh my gosh, that's great. Thanks so much for sharing your perspective. Steve, I'm curious, what would you add? Just to kind of get them to re-engage. Because if they are just being rude and not paying attention, that's not cool. So you can call them out. Okay, that was a lot. Truthfully, I could probably spend an hour on each one of these things, 1 through 9. I could talk about this for 9 hours. That is a really scary thought, and I'm not going to do that. But hopefully this was helpful. Again, my advice is don't try to apply all of this all at once. Just walk away from this with 2 or 3 things you're going to try next time, or 2 or 3 things you're going to do differently in your next interview presentation. And then you can always come back, and then you can add 2 or 3 more in the next one, and so on and so forth. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you love today's episode, or if you want to continue the conversation, come hang out with me on LinkedIn. Connect with me, follow me, or message me over there. I'm at linkedin.com/in/Carly-Agar. And if you haven't already, don't forget to follow the show wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. I'll catch you next time.